Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for joining us here. I'm Henrik. This is Red Ice TV. We have a great show for you lined up today. We're doing another interview. We're going to join one of our friends up in Sweden, Andreas Johansson from Nordic Frontier. This is the podcast, English-speaking podcast, really, of the Nordic Resistance Movement. That's how what he's heading up. How are you doing today, Andreas? Thank you so much for joining us today. Good to see you again.
Well, hello, Henrik. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's an honor to be on your show. I think I mentioned when you were on our show that Red Ice has meant quite a lot for me over the years, and it's really nice to be here.
Oh, you bet. I'm glad we're doing it. We should have done it sooner, frankly. Thank you for having me on Nordic Frontier. Really appreciate it. You guys are doing good work over there. I always liked seeing what the Nordic Resistance Movement is doing, and I want to talk a little bit later, actually, about some of the activism that you guys are doing. Obviously, things are heating up quite extensively now with this Israeli Hamas war and all that stuff. And I don't know, it's an interesting political time, to be honest. And even in terms of activism, everything is being shook around, really, because of this. You're even seeing now open borders, like Jewish activists in Europe and Western countries. They're like, kind of, we're having second thoughts. Maybe this wasn't a great idea. it's fascinating to see everything he says. And not that this means, that they're going to do the work for us or anything like that, but I'm saying it's fascinating how quickly things can change. You're actually seeing discussions like in Germany. It's for all the wrong reasons, essentially. But still, right, if we can start, it's actually beginning. But, Germany is like considering, maybe we should deport people. Yes, because they're not pro-Israel enough, right? Other countries are looking at this too. They're banning protests and stuff. It's crazy. I mean, I'm not sure if we should go into that right away, but what's your kind of overview on this?
Yeah. It's very interesting what's going on right now, and I'm actually really excited because, this is a conflict that I'm actually invested in, and I can take a side for sure. I'm sure we get into that. But it's like the example in England where the exchange students were threatened to be deported because they were anti-Zionists. I mean, that's unheard of. We have literally so much anti-white crime in our countries that are explicitly aimed towards, in Sweden, it's explicitly aimed towards Swedish people. Swedish young people are being robbed, raped, and murdered every single day. There are no meetings, no crisis meetings, no lobby groups, nothing organizing any deportations of these people. And they're being convicted. Sometimes they're being convicted for quite some long time to sit in Swedish jails and, rot away. No deportations, literally. Deportations is off the agenda. But if you don't love Jews, I'm not sure we can keep you. And I'm a little bit split on the issue. It's like, if you deport a few hundred thousand Palestinians, I'm not going to be crying about that. But at the same time, it's just the usual hypocrisy. It's crazy.
It's for the wrong reasons. That's the problematic thing.
Yeah.
I played, we don't have to play the clip, but I can kind of summarize it, I guess. But, I mean, you're tuned in. You know about the memes. You know about the subculture. It's kind of like, everywhere. It's so, how do I put this? It's so homogenized, right? You get exposed to, what's going on in America as keeping up with things or whatever. So these guys, the Charlie Kirks or whatever. But I played this clip in the last stream I did, and it's fascinating because he's actually talking about leftist Jewish activists that have contributed to the wokeness at university campuses now and cultural Marxism. And he's saying this openly, and he's appealing to them, saying, please, you have to stop this because this is what's leading to the lack of support for Israel, right? So he's pleading with them.
Yeah.
But the spin here is basically wokeness is bad, not because it's bad for white countries or the West. It's because then Israel is losing support, so then the West won't be able to protect Israel. that's the spin on it. I, as long as he's saying it, at least that's opening up the conversation a little bit, and I think it's a net positive, but how you can miss the mark in that way is just fascinating to me. I'm not sure if you saw this clip yet or not.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting, these characters like Charlie Kirk, and there was a lot of others on Twitter, like Shapiro and Libs of TikTok. They were so excited when they were going to ban the ADL. and they were calling it a leftist group and all that kind of stuff. And then when this conflict kicks off, like all gloves are, like the mask is off on all of these people, and their true loyalty is just revealed.
Yes.
And they go emotional and crazy. And then you have this guy, he's trying to square a circle, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, so it's hard to keep up with the reasoning. Like, no, because we wrote an article on Nordfront.se, if it was today or yesterday, and it was literally about, where are the Jews that are condemning the insane violence that we're seeing in Gaza right now?
Yeah.
Because whenever you turn on the TV or you listen to Ben Shapiro or the likes, it's literally justified because they're hiding behind civilians. And we're like, okay, how many tens of thousands of civilians can we bomb? How many hospitals, how many universities can we bomb before Israel is declared like an enemy?
Yeah.
Breaking the war crimes, humanitarian.
There are a few lone voices, but even then it's kind of I've seen some that are kind of ambiguous, a bit on the fence.
Einstein, I think, is one of them that's out there. And
who was it again? Say it again, because I was talking over you. Go ahead.
Sorry, Norman Finkelstein, I think, is a Jew that is criticizing this, and he's also kind of suggested that he could do in a debate with Shapiro, which Shapiro would never accept because he only takes easy targets.
He's like 15
years old. I don't know if you saw those clips coming out of, those clips coming out of Oxford, was it?
Yeah.
When he used the slaughter of civilian Germans in Dresden as a justification for what they're doing in Gaza. I mean, this guy is a fucking demon.
yeah, I know.
Sorry for the F.
No, please go ahead. That's the right word for it. And then again, you know, we show that, I forget if that's a Facebook post or whatever, someone forwarded it to me, right? Multiculturalism may very well be the downfall of Western civilization itself, it says. And of course, it's all classic, right? I don't give a damn about so-called Browning of America. These are all the people that called, you know, people like us and so many others, right? Racists and Nazis and bigots and whatever, you know, they could wheel out because we were protesting the demographic replacement in our countries. And now all of a sudden it's like, maybe this is not that great, which is fascinating, right? Because it's like, do they have any plan or foresight? My take was this: their hatred for, like, the West, if you will. You know, you can go the religious Orthodox route and talk about Edom and these terms that they throw around in Orthodox Judaism and the Chabad people and all that stuff. Or you can just take, like, the liberal Jews, right? Regardless, you know, because the Holocaust, right? So they hate the West, they hate white people or Europeans, so their hatred for them is overrides their love for Israel. Like, even if this actually means that all their support for Israel will go away, and the little piggy bank, like the United States or whatever, of Israel, they just fork out money to them. Even if that ends because of this demographic change, which will inevitably happen if this continues, they don't. It's not about that. You see what I mean? That their hatred for us is bigger than the love for their own country, or Israel in this case. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. And you can notice that on Shapiro when this kicks off, is that he doesn't hold back. Like, it's visceral. He's suddenly visceral in his rhetoric. And all the Jews that are anti-immigration, close the borders in America, all of a sudden they're like gung-ho, send all the troops, send all the weapons, send the support package, the billions, Israel. Israel has the right to defend itself, didn't you know? And it's also interesting to see the atrocity propaganda. This is a comparison we did on the show last week. When the Balfour Declaration was being done, and you could read about the Balfour Declaration on Wikipedia, the official story about how that the letter was written. That's the Balfour Declaration. But you can't find in the Wikipedia what England got in return. You know,
right.
That's not mentioned. And that's the crux of the matter that people need to think about. And what happened was that they dragged America into the First World War to crush. It was one of the things that crushed Germany. One other thing was the the boycotts and the craziness that was going on in Germany, which made them not get munitions, ammunition to the front. And there was a lot of communist BS going on there. But they started, what the Jews did, literally Rothschild and their cousins, what they did was they pulled up, they pushed out atrocity propaganda with the babies being thrown in the air and then caught on bayonets by the demonish Germans. And they started demonizing and dehumanizing Germans. And now, I don't know, many years later, over 100 years later, you're seeing this again. You're seeing it, but now we have the internet. So it's starting to get a little bit retarded when you look at what they're pulling out now.
Yeah.
It's the burnt babies. They're literally some sort of AI-generated lump of coal that they had in a blanket. And then literally the babies baked in the ovens. I mean, come on.
Do they have to? I saw it. It was a couple of Jewish journalists, I think they said. It's like, I mean, I think it's true that, you know, Hamas went in there, whatever, and I'm sure, and I've argued this before, but, like, they've been so mistreated that I would totally understand them just going completely ballistic and just doing all kinds of atrocities, you know what I mean? And I'm sure that happened. I mean, I'm sure it did. So why do they have to, exaggerate? And again, in the time of the internet, it's like, this is going to backfire. People are going to, you know, question this. It's not like, you know, World War II here anymore, 1940s, 50s, 60s even, wherever all the, you know, at that time, you know, whatever boomers or the generation before believed the government and the press and the news or whatever. It's very different now.
Yeah. You got the 40 beheaded babies that are like literally debunked by mainstream media has now debunked this. And again, someone like Shapiro, I think he's like the main character here, but he posted that in all sincerity. He hasn't apologized for it, nothing.
No.
But everyone knows it's a lie by now. And one thing that the Jews know when they push these things is that by the time it's out there, like by the time it's being debunked, like 2 weeks later, it's too late. It's already cemented in, you know, your average Joe's mind. He's not going to go and look at the truth 2 weeks later. He's not on Telegram, you know, scrolling through the channels and all that kind of stuff.
No.
So they know that whatever they lie about, it's going to work, like, overall. But it's going to piss a lot of people off. A lot of people are going to see it for what it is. And a lot more people are savvier. I think they're using more alternative channels today than before. So every time they do this, more and more people get woken up to the bullshit, which is good,
exactly. And again, it might be for, you know, the wrong reasons. We see, you know, changes or a willingness to go in a certain way politically, whatever. But it still kind of opens up the, maybe not the overtime, maybe that's the wrong term, but like it opens up to us the possibilities that, like, oh, so we can, you know, I'm like, oh, we can deport people then. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that unlocks that in people's minds. Like, huh, okay, well, we can deport them for not being pro-Israel. Can we not deport them for not being pro-our nation that they are actually in now? You know what I mean? Because as you said in the beginning, it's like, okay, they've, what, 1,400, you know, people, you know, Israel claimed or whatever. It's like, if you tally up from, like, not even like, we can look at the big, you know, big terrorist acts in Europe or whatever, like, you know, Bataclan, and you had the Nice, the Muslim who stole a truck and drove over people. We had that truck in Sweden. There was a Manchester bombing, right? There's some of the big, like, terrorist attacks. But just a slow trickle over the decades of, like, the murders, the rapes, the gang rapes, the bombs, the explosions, the humiliation crime. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the problem with that is that those are all individuals causing crimes, like in Sweden. The humiliation robberies. These are just isolated incidents. So we can't judge them on their ethnicity, their culture, or anything like that. We just need to punish these individuals and then we're fine. And definitely not deport them, because then we won't have them around anymore. So yeah, it is tiring, and I do want like a pro-white council that will lobby for white people and literally say that these people need to be deported because they're not pro-white in white countries. That would be a simple thing to do. Obviously, the Nordic resistance movement is race first, and we always think about ethnicity.
Yeah.
Like we don't hate all the racial strangers that are here. Like every single individual, I don't go around hating them. It's that they are threatening the future of our people, like physically, by mixing and outbreeding us in our own homeland.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I do have a lot of animosity because a lot of people, they don't belong here, and they've taken advantage of us for sure, and they've caused a lot of crime. But in the end, like a very non-emotional deportation process.
It can be. I've argued that too. It can be very orderly and efficient and peaceful, and we can do this in the right way. You know what I mean? Like it's nothing. It really isn't anything. Well, to those who, of course, have done crimes against our people, then yes, it gets personal. But for the others, they're just like here, kind of occupying our lands, essentially. Which is so funny, by the way, which goes back to this massive, you know, pro-Palestinian, protest that we've seen and things like that in many Western capitals now, London, Paris, Berlin. We've seen it in Washington, D.C. and stuff. And the line there is, you know, oh, we're against Israel because they're a colonialist white supremacist country, right? Like, that's been the line. While many of these people, maybe it's not all, there's probably some whites in those protests as well, but they're, at least in Europe, overwhelmingly, obviously, Muslim, right? And it's like, well, you're the you're literally here colonizing our countries, and in some cases, they're even there because of the lobbying that happened by the very people that they claim they're against, like Jewish activists and these NGOs and all these, you know, programs over the years. On the Barbara Spector, we relitigate this all the time, but we have to do it because of new people listening, right? But like Barbara Spector, Aneta Kahane, Gregory Gysi, Noel Ignatiev, it's Israel, it's Hayes, it's Jewish Family Fund, Paideia, which, you know, Barbara Spector is behind, etc. There's just an endless stream of these groups and individuals. And these people are kind of the willing tools, really, of those people as well, which is so odd. Which is this, like, they have this relationship, symbiotic relationship almost, as they're, you know, in our countries, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and there's a lot of stuff going on in our sphere as well regarding these. Like, when the conflict first kicked off, and every time this conflict kicks off, we always take the anti-Israeli side. That's like, doesn't matter who's fighting Israel, we'll be on the side that's fighting Israel. But that doesn't mean that we're pro-Palestinian in Sweden. Like, this doesn't mean that we're pro them demonstrating even in Sweden. Like, they literally need to go home and fight for their country.
Yeah.
And, you know, kill as many of their enemy as possible, if I'm allowed to say that. Because that's another thing. The Jews around in the media, like Alan Dershowitz and all these, like, IDF veterans and stuff, the president was out saying that they literally have to kill every single Palestinian, wipe them out. That's the reaction they had after this attack.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, is it okay to say that we need to wipe out the Jews? Is that legal to say? I don't think it is.
I don't think so. No.
So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they have enemies. They should go fight their enemies. But there's a lot of, like, right-wing, and I don't know if they do this intentionally in order to make themselves like a certain niche or something. But whenever you talk positive about brown people, they hate your organization. They literally say you're cucking for non-whites or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, as a resistance movement, Nordic resistance movement, we support Hamas in their resistance against Zionism.
In their country, where they are.
In their country. And the thing is, do these people, they criticize this and, you know, must hate brown people, do they think that there's going to be less refugees if Hamas loses this conflict? No. There's going to be a shit ton of Palestinians. They're going to be pushed into Egypt, and then they're going to come to Sweden. Like, it's going to be an express line straight into Europe. But if they win this conflict, which would be insane, like, it would change the entire world forever. If they would win this conflict, I don't even know what it would look like. But if Israel didn't exist, I mean, it could be pretty nice.
What about those Jews in Israel? They would go to America and Europe, supposedly, right? What do you think?
Well, not if they are killed by their enemies in this war. I mean, the thing is, they have occupied this land now for almost 80 years. They are not welcome. And the people on the West Bank and all that, I don't know if they've all fled by now, but these are hostile people. They are literally eating up. You're showing the map there. They're eating up someone else's living space over the span of 80 years. And there's so much terrorism that Israel has been conducting over the years. These people, I'll tell you, they are like the people without... I don't know. It's hard to like them. And that's why I don't understand these Zionists and their arguments. Right now, all they're saying is that Hamas is hiding behind civilians and Israel has the right to defend themselves. And then they have the atrocity propaganda with the brisket. Like, that's all they have. Otherwise, it's like, are we going to go down to the bottom of this? How Israel came to be and all the dirty deals and the terrorism that has... that has preceded this. Yeah, it's the people without redeeming features. Sorry, I blanked.
No, it's fine. Yeah,
that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
It's impossible to like these people.
Yeah, I mean, what was the point that you mentioned? It was something I was thinking about right there. It slipped my mind. It'll come back to me. But there's so many of these, you know, lobbying groups and activists and stuff like that, right? That they've been doing this to our countries, and. It's not just this, right? The other aspect of this, of course, is the foreign wars. Let me show you another graph here. We've shown this a couple of times, mm-hmm. right? But
yes.
America's war on terror displaced 37 million people. And, of course, you go into the finer details, you realize this is anywhere from AIPAC to the neoconservative movement and stuff like that, which have largely driven this type of foreign policy. And a lot of these people then end up in our countries. Flip side to that is you're basically emptying some of these countries like Iraq, Syria.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, even Yemen,
yeah.
They go to the West, they go to Europe and America primarily, and they're emptying those countries for, you know, the greater Israel type project, or whatever it is. Maybe there's something else behind it. Maybe, again, as I said, maybe the hatred for us is greater and they don't care, they just want to flood us, blah, blah, blah. But regardless, you could see how a lot of these pieces of this puzzle kind of fits together in that sense, right?
But it was the Wesley Clark memo or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It was an interview with him when he talked about the seven countries that need to be invaded. I think their time span it was a little bit tight, but they're still going at it. And Syria was definitely something they tried to do. And what has happened, ironically, after all these years, is that Iran seemed to be stronger than ever.
Yeah,
and Iran has a very good relationship with Iraq. And then you have the America pulling out of Afghanistan and the Taliban literally inheriting their entire arsenal.
Mm.
And
yeah.
the Taliban has asked, was it Syria, or they've asked Iran for like freedom of passage or something through the region so that mm-hmm. they can go and fight the Jews. I think that's very interesting. It's literally because the goal was to destabilize all these countries that were anti-Zionist and then push all the refugees into Europe. It was like a two-pronged attack. And it seems the immigration definitely was successful, but it seems like these Arab nations are on their way back.
Yeah, even the one they tried to do so-called nation building in, right, and all that stuff.
Mm.
At the same time, with Iran, it's interesting, right, because part of their success is that China is buying a lot of oil from Iran right now.
Yeah.
And then you look at the, you know, the geopolitical chessboard here. Well, who helped to build up China? Well, that was mostly, Western countries. But you know what I mean? Like, this was like it's neoliberalism, right? It was the capitalist system. We're going to make it cheaper. We're going to outsource. All these Chinese people are going to have your factories now, essentially, right? That's happened in every Western country, essentially. So we've, over time, Western countries have built them up economically, made them stronger. Then now they having their BRICS shit going on too, with this multipolar world order, right? So you have like Iran and Russia and China, and probably a lot of these Arab nations will just go and join that. There's a battle kind of over Africa now, which of course has to do with resources and stuff. But you're seeing these poles, right? Mm-hmm. So you had a very powerful before, like a NATO G7 type front, right? The Western countries or whatever. And these are kind of like almost leveling out now. The West is like going bankrupt. We've given away most of our armaments to Ukraine, and just endless of billions down the drain. Our energy supply have been cut off, at least in Europe, right? You had this terrorist attack of the Nord Stream, probably some NATO country, if not America outright, who did that.
Yeah.
And they locked us out of the Russian, you know, energy sector. And so now we have to turn to like America for, you know, liquid natural gas and these types of things, right? But it's like someone is, to me anyway, someone is like pulling these strings, that they're intentionally creating two almost equally strong poles, right? The multipolar world order. And who knows if they just want to have a massive war between these sides or something eventually. But my point is, that side has definitely been, maybe not artificially strengthened, but at least through idiocy and greed and not thinking out straight, you know what I mean? And just like, oh, let's just fund and outsource all these things. And now it's ending up biting, you know, us again, right? We didn't do this. Our leaders did, and those who control our leaders. But still, you know what I'm saying? Like, the West have been screwed over in so many ways, and it's almost like they want us taken down, right? I don't know how else to equate that to, you know?
Yeah. There's something that I've been thinking about America ever since BLM started. And you saw all these riots, and they were burning down whole city squares. Like, it was absolutely insane. And the police just let it happen. And I just thought that this looks like it's deliberate. Like, they are just dismantling America. They're just letting it go. And you can see them pulling out of Afghanistan, like I said, and the war against terrorism is not declared over, but I mean, they have no power left. They have no morale left, and they have no white people that want to fight these wars anymore. Hopefully, we'll see about
that. Yeah, exactly. You saw the very white army ad, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome back, white guys. Exciting. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I don't want to be like... it's not doom and gloomy, but or self-destructive, but the American empire is going to collapse. And it's straining itself now to a point that it's not possible to keep this up. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they have a backup plan. I think maybe they do. Maybe some people that are rich enough, powerful enough, are not going to be affected. But they can't fight the proxy war in Ukraine and fight for Israel in the Middle East at the same time. It's going to be impossible.
And then Taiwan, right? They're going to back up Taiwan, yeah. And then Armenia, exactly. And then it's, you know, like it just goes on and on. It just doesn't stop.
Like, if you look at the rate that Israel is bombing right now, it's not physically possible to make enough missiles for them to use. Like, they're shooting it like a automatic fire. It's insane the amount of, like, thousands of tons of bombs that they've dropped on Gaza, that little place. It's like the size of, I don't know, a small region in Sweden that I don't remember, but it's very small. You can't fit that amount of tons of bombs. So it's going to cost them too much, and the people hopefully will not be willing to fight this war. So what are they going to do? No, it's going to, you know, Hezbollah and Hamas might just wipe them out if they don't have any support.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It feels like Israel is, this is like a, which is dangerous, right? Because you have shit like Samson option and whatnot coming in the wake of this. But like, it feels like this is an existential, like it's a make it or break it type moment for them, and they have to do it now. And part of it is stuff like this, right? And that doesn't mean, you know what I mean? I say this all the time. It's like, oh good, you know, the global homo American empire is collapsing. It's like, okay, sure, great. But what's going to fill that power vacuum is not any better for us, right? That's Russia, China, India, you know, Iran, that kind of phalang. And they're as, you know, some people said, whoa, do you want the anti-West to rule you? Or do you want the anti-Western, non-Western faction to rule you? Because they have the same rhetoric. You look at some of, like, Russia and Putin and stuff like that, you know, some of the statements they do. Even Hamas, right? They had this, like, oh, George Floyd, you know, like, they brought up, like, these issues that is, like, racism and colonialism. And interestingly, they're using, like, the same cultural Marxist Jewish academic talking points that has been like programmed into Western, you know, the Western population for the last few decades now. And you think they could offer up really offer up like a different flavor of something here than just like the same, but that doesn't seem to be happening.
Slightly less pro-gay, I guess.
Exactly. It's like, ooh, high bar. They believe in traditional marriage, and I'll take that. Sure, that's great, but it's like that's not really a high bar. You know what I mean?
No, but you know, hopefully it will be a power vacuum that you know, white people can benefit from at some point.
Because, I hope so. Yeah.
Because right now we're locked into this thing, and with the way that internet is going, we might get into that later, but also about our laws that are literally being written to punish the indigenous white people in their own countries. There's hate speech laws, and there's laws now, surveillance laws, to make sure that they know what's on everyone's device at all times. And then digital ID and digital currencies so that they can control everything that you do. Like, just give us a little power vacuum in order to avoid all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because once that's in place, it's very hard to do anything, to organize anything that they don't know about or can stop.
Yeah, control of information, and then you have laws and stuff, right? And it reminds me... I can sneak this in real quick here, but the UK has a... Let me see here, where did it go? They have an upcoming Armistice Day, and it will be interesting to see how these things kind of turn out, right? But November 11th, right, is to commemorate the falling of World War One, World War Two, and the same thing there, by the way. That's just a whole... That's a different tangent, but like... Yeah, the Brits, of course, and you know, fighting Germany and stuff, and like, oh well, aren't we lucky now? Look at the full consequences here of fighting that side, and you know, them lining up and literally dying for being invaded now by like Muslims and stuff like that. You know, London being like minority white
it's
and all that stuff.
It's a meme, like about the people that are storming the beach, and then in the thought bubble is like gay marriage and stuff.
Yeah, I know, it's true. It come true, you know. I have another one, this one I've shown this to do in the last few streams, but I remember saving this down in like 2010 or something when I really started getting into some of these things. If we have not fought in the war, we would have been invaded by foreigners, you know? I was like, yeah, well, that happened. Anyway, so pro-Palestinian in March, and apparently it's going to go ahead. The Indian Prime Minister was selected in the UK. Yeah. Said like, well, you know, we have to go ahead with this. It's free speech or whatever. And then you have, you know, far right and football hooligans, and it looks like everyone's favorite Tommy Robinson here is going to line up and bring a bunch of people there too. Some people say don't. I think it was Mark Collett just released a video like, "Don't go, it's a trap." Someone said Sargon of Akkad is advising people to join Tommy's protest on Saturday. Retarded, don't listen to him. This could go really bad for them. I don't think they understand like what they might face if they should. Because it's not that this will be like, oh, let's protest Islamification of our countries or what. They're going to be there as like explicitly pro-Zionist. They might even show up with like maybe a UK flag, but definitely like Israeli flags and shit like that. This might go turn real ugly.
He's
what do you
think? Before Tommy Robinson, he brings the Israeli flag to the rallies.
Yeah.
Like, what are you? What are you on about? But, you know, according to some people, he's Jewish. You know, that he's supposedly tweeted that he's Jewish years ago.
He doesn't look too Jewish, but he's probably converted or something, right? I don't know.
But it doesn't really matter. Like, he loves Jews, and he said there was a recording with him. I think you played it, where he says he's going to go fight for
Israel.
The IDF. If there's a conflict. So it doesn't really matter in his case. He's going to be...
There's one.
Pro-Israel.
Yep, he's pro-Israel. Anyway, the point is he might lead these people into just a trap, really, or something. I mean, he might not think so, or he might think so. I'm not sure what the deal is there. But it's like, is that the level of resistance? You know, it's kind of like before the stream came on, or before the show, you know, we talked about just how many, you know, so-called nationalistic parties in Europe there are now. And they're all, you know, I mean, I remember dropping this years ago, but like, it looks like Israel also wants to, like, have us Europeans identify kind of with their struggle, that it is us with them against like the Muslims or something, you know what I mean, that they're trying to like create that type of alliance, you know, forces of coming together, right?
And we were talking about that as well, like the average Sweden Democrat voter in Sweden, for example, they've been demonized for so many years, for decades, for opposing mass immigration, for being against Muslims. And here they get a free range to hate on Muslims as much as they want. It's like cathartic for them. Finally, the mainstream won't demonize me for being against these Palestinian demonstrations and thinking that these terrible anti-Jewish people should just be deported from our country. So they definitely have a lot of these nationalists in their grip with the pro-Zionism, where they can't discern the difference. It's because they're not thinking about race. They're not putting race first, because Jews are a different race and they have different interests. And in this case, they are using all these white people for their own needs in order to, you know, ramp up this resistance against Palestinians.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the same time, you know, they get these Muslim populations very riled up in the West and Western countries. And I mean, again, our leadership, right? Like, look at the EU, the European Union, right? They projected, you know, Israeli flags on their buildings early on in the conflict and stuff like that. And it's almost like begging to be attacked. And again, not that it's right if it would happen, but it's like, how retarded can you be? You know what I mean? You bring in all these people. Look at France, for example, right? They bring in all these people. But then they like pass all these laws. Like, no, you can't wear a hijab and you can't be too pro-Israeli. It's almost like you need to become us and be us, but still be this different race. And we just must have you in our countries. We can't just, you know, why not deport them then if their behavior? I mean, again, sure, maybe Germany is looking at that, but we'll see what happens on that front. It's highly likely that that's not going to go through. But they might pass laws to try to restrict behavior or things like that. It's almost like we want them to mix with us. We want them to be us, become us, mix out with us, and mix, you know, with our children, and then we'll be this wonderful, just, you know, multiracial utopia. A bunch of deracinated people that have no allegiances, nor to European countries, nor to the Arab world, I guess. Maybe that's their plan.
Yeah, and definitely think it is. And there's a few different motives. Like, you have racial strangers that come to the North, and they're definitely there to colonize, to create their own community and to be among their own and have their own religion and all that kind of stuff. And then you have some Arabs or racial strangers that want to become Swedish. They want to become part of the Swedish society. And they think, as many Swedish people think or white people think, that a mocha brown future is really nice and peaceful and we'll all be the same and it's going to be wonderful. But we think that it's best that the people that come here, they keep their customs, they keep the hijab on, and they segregate into their own areas. So when the time comes, we can point at them and say that these are the people that are going to go home.
They're not us. They're separate from us. Right. Yeah,
exactly. So the more we mix, the harder this separation is going to become.
Yeah.
And that's what we're fighting against, for sure. And another reason, maybe that's a little bit unrelated, but another reason is it's not just Arabs and Africans that are coming. It's also Thai people and Filipino people that are marrying white men and creating these half-caste babies. There's thousands of them by now in Sweden. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. True. If you go to ICA, there they are, every single time. And I'm like, what a waste.
I know.
Now you created this rootless child.
Yep.
Like a side note, I had an electrician that was one of these Kalergi babies. Now, but he was half Thai, and he said that his mother divorced his father and went back home to Thailand.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, left him there with no roots, no identity. She didn't like it anymore, so she went back home. And I was like, it's so tragic, and it's probably happened so many times.
Oh yeah.
And
it usually doesn't work out, right? Isn't that one of the stats, I think?
Because they only come for, I don't know, the comfort, and then they regret it because it's not their roots. They don't feel at home here. And this half-caste doesn't feel at home anywhere anymore.
Yeah,
so that's one of the things that we want to definitely avoid.
Yeah, I mean, it's cruel, to be honest. We've played clips in prior shows of some of them talking. They don't really feel they belong here nor there. There are mm-hmm. medical problems, blood donations, bone marrow. There's all these organ donation, I think, which is like unique just to mixed race, kids or people or whatever. It's a major problem, and no one is thinking or telling them this. They just this is wonderful. Let's have this idea, let's plan. It's like dysgenics, right? It's like a reversal of doing what's best for us.
And I always meme that race mixing is a sin, and I'm not Christian, I'm not religious, but race mixing is literally a sin against National Socialism and everything that I stand for. But that's not because I hate non-white people.
Right.
It's because it's just wrong to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm showing came across some graphs on this recently regarding this issue as well. Mixed-race adults are more likely than monoracial Caucasians adults to never get married, not obtain at least a bachelor's degree, to be unemployed, have worked fewer weeks in a year than when working. I'm not sure if that's a really huge issue.
Yeah,
but still.
Give a shit about working.
Poorer performance at work, okay? Have lower household income, be poor.
Just say this, Asian women that have babies with Aryan men, they have to have C-sections because the cranium
right.
is too large
yeah.
to push out of their vagina.
Yep.
That should tell you something about race mixing.
Exactly. Yep. No, there's all kinds of things like that they don't tell you that. And then, of course, it's cruel. It's not fair to these kids. They feel completely deracinated. Yeah. They're out of place and don't belong and stuff, depressed, these issues.
I never blame the children, not even the immigrant children that come here. Like, they are innocent. And children that are being raised by, gays, or children that are being put in positions they didn't choose.
Right.
It's not their fault. They're the victims, always.
Yep. And then later, unfortunately, some of them, they grow up and they become anti-Swedish. They do their crimes and stuff. Mm. But it's okay. It's like, what, in Sweden, and I think this is true in many other countries too. Yeah, it is, actually. Second, third, even fourth generation of immigrants are actually even more out of place, and they're the ones who are most likely to be attracted to more extreme, extremist ideologies, such as they do the Islamic, terrorism and things like this or whatever.
Yeah. And they're also more involved in the crime that we're seeing right now with the shootings and the drug dealing.
Yep.
Because they have no identity, they don't know where to go, they have no roots, they have no culture. What are they going to do? They just,
They become feel outside.
Criminal.
Yep, they feel
make
outside.
Make a lot of money.
Make a lot of money, exactly. And they can make a lot of money on that, too, by the way, that whole thing. I mean, we've recently in Sweden, just the insane levels here of, I mentioned this, dropped this in another stream once, but Ådalen is one of these classic. Well, was that 30s or 40s? You remember when Ådalen was? You know what I'm talking about? Classic game. My grandfather spoke about this, waving his finger, the military should never be involved, they shot and killed this commie once, and it was up north in Sweden. I forget. I'll Google it in a second here. But anyway, but now, of course, because of diversity and multiracialism in Sweden and this wonderful utopia we're building up there, now they're contemplating bringing out the military because they're losing control, right? I'm not sure that's moved ahead since then, but there was this news stories about it a couple of weeks ago, where the current prime minister of Kristersson is considering, asking for advice at least by the military. Can you step in? They're losing the monopoly violence that a state has. It's like the one thing they have. That's it's the only thing they have, and they're losing that.
They're supposed to be doing securing the stability of our society.
Yeah,
and they completely lost it. Like, they literally have better weapons than the police. They have AKs and grenades and, I don't know, rocket launchers probably. But they could. They could if they wanted to. This has always been my point. If we wanted to solve this, of course we could solve it. We have special forces that knows who to attack and where. It's not a secret who's dealing the drugs or who's doing the shootings. It's and even if they're caught, they I don't know if they are going to like be deported or anything like that, because they are Swedish. Like, they're second and third generation. They're not going to be deported. They're just going to spend some time in prison and they're going to be out again. Because being in prison is like having a nice IKEA apartment with a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
It's not really punishment for them. They don't care. They don't care about the punishment. They're like, oh, shit, I take a break. I can go and get some free meals for a while. And then I can continue when I get out.
Yeah.
Or not. It doesn't matter. These people are going to do it anyway. And it's gone down in the ages now because you have full, I don't know if I'd call this in English, but it's like full punishability when you're 21.
You're juvenile, yeah. Right? Your sentence is a juvenile.
Yeah, so
under
from 18 to 21 is like a special thing. And then after 21, you're a full adult. You get full punishment.
Yep.
But before 18, you're literally not eligible for punishment or whatever you could call it. So you have all these youths that are killing people now. These are 16 and 17-year-olds. They're just shooting other 16 and 17-year-olds and other older people. They don't know what to do with them because they put them in youth care. They put them in, they incarcerate them somewhere, but they don't know
more lemonade and cinnamon rolls and bouncy castles.
But they're like, but what do you do? It's like, this is a like really violent 16-year-old that could kill you if you just give him a gun. He'll just shoot you and run out of there. Yeah, you have to deport them.
Yes.
You have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Like, we can't keep these people. The solution is to just remove all of them so that we don't have to deal with it anymore. So the solution definitely exists, and they don't want to do it. So they're sending in the military to do surveillance and do some, some operations. But they're not obviously going to kick in the doors and start rounding people up. That's not what it's about. It's about resources that they don't have.
Yeah.
Like having a lot of people around to surveil the situation in the neighborhoods, I think, is mostly what they're going to have drones and helicopters and stuff like that.
Until it escalates further, because that's inevitable, I think.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. What if they shoot the military?
Yeah.
What if they just, rocket launch the helicopter or something? What happens? Do we attack then? How do you do that?
Who's an enemy combat? I mean, it's so complicated, right? But part of me is that that's what they wanted. They wanted that to happen. It's just, you can't do anything now. Oh, that's it. Your countries are lost forever. Like, no. We have to. Laws needs to be passed that nullified from this year to this year, right? Of what happened here was basically unlawful. It was not, the people wasn't asked or whatever. You know, I mean, you have to nullify these things. It's the same thing with the...
From 1975.
Right. I'm serious. The problem is, and I mean, we're talking just practical solutions, like what will this look like here, is of course, okay, you might be able to do, I don't know what then, a genetics test on these people or something, right? You know, and like, okay, where are you actually from? Now there's all the problem of getting those countries to accept these people also in return. Otherwise, what do? You have to have some no man's land. You have to build a somewhere on the ocean. You have to build an artificial island to put them on or something. Yeah. I don't know.
That's another issue with Hamas and the Gaza Strip, is that as long as this is going on, we can't send these Palestinians back to where they belong because there's nowhere to live, literally. It's just rubble soon.
Yep.
So they need to crush Israel in this conflict so that they have, because a lot of them want to return home. I'm not saying most of them. I'm just saying a lot of them didn't want to leave. Israel made them leave.
Mm.
And, it's the same kind of with Syria, but not really. A lot of the Syrian, we got a lot of the shit Syrians, to be honest. But there are Syrians that would probably go home if everything was okay and Syria was building back up and it was nice to go to.
Well, ironically, but it's the national...
Middle East would benefit us, like, at least.
Right. I mean, ironically, it's the nationalistic people that stayed. Right? It's the people that don't care that left. It's like, all right, I guess I can go to another hotel for a while or, whatever. Like, they see our countries as some, it's a motel room for them temporarily or whatever.
And especially the Afghans, those are the people that I resent the most. Because
why?
These were people that were living in peace in Iran for years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when the doors opened, they all claimed asylum. And there was these information, like Swedish government was having information websites about how to get to Sweden and seek the asylum and get the benefits and all that stuff in Afghanistan. In their, you know, Arabic or whatever they speak, so that they would come. And these are just opportunists. These aren't refugees. They were just hanging out in Iran and like, oh my God, we can go there and get some chicks.
Yeah, nice. I know. And in some cases, there's this TikTok trends now where they're like showing these, you know, Arabs going to Europe and getting like money and car or like a you know, white girlfriend and shit like this. Like, it's, and you know, there's like some subversive stuff behind this as well. You know, go there and you'll get cool shit. It's so materialistic and stuff. And again, this is just, that's why they're economic migrants. They're opportunistic. They just jump on this. The door is open and they go because they can. I remember a few times asking, you know, in a taxi, whatever, this is a while ago now, but you ask some of these people, it's like an Iraqi guy, whatever, like, why are you here? And it's like, I don't know. Even here in the U.S. when we were here, someone from like Eritrea or something, like, hey, why are you here? Oh, well, I had a family member that's here. So, you know, it's like, well, the door was open, so I just walked in. I don't know why I'm doing this. You know, it's like, okay. They don't have a good explanation for it. They're here because the they can.
Obviously, yeah. The first step is obviously to close the door.
Yeah, exactly. Close the door.
The other way.
And then the second thing, layer to this, right, is hopefully to create an environment. They're not, and you know, we don't have to. I agree with you 100%. We're not. Whites are different that way, right? We're moral in a different. You know, we have that morality. We've been our kindness has been exploited, right? It's our Achilles heel. It's been used against. It's been weaponized against us. Our hospitality, our kindness, our universality. And you can argue those are bad properties, and we need to do away with them. But I don't think most white people, European descent today, are going to be convinced by saying we need to turn as mean and as wicked and evil as possible. Yeah. I don't think you're going to win people over that way, right? You have to just, go ahead.
Yeah, like, we're the only race that can apply objectivity in a way that we have done. And that's why we're such a success when it comes to inventions and innovations overall, because we have this perspective where we try to we look at the things on a macro level and, you know, sort things out. These other ethnicities, they don't do that. They're literally clan mentality, which benefits them in a real sense. Like now in Sweden with the ghettos and the no-go zones, this clan mentality really benefits them. And our way of trying to resolve this conflict by trying to put ourselves into their shoes and all that shit, that's not benefiting us, but that's what we do. And I think we cannot breed that out of us. We can't ignore that, but we have to find a way where we can use that, because, I mean, we can use rational solutions to solve this problem, and it can be very humanitarian, even though I really don't care how humanitarian it is personally.
Right.
But we can definitely come up with solutions to solve this problem.
Yeah, we must. We have to. I think we can do it. To imply that it's impossible is to minimize, you know, what we are capable of.
Did you see the stuff from Pakistan?
Exactly. I was just going to make that as a reference.
They're going to deport over a million of Afghanistan.
Yep.
Afghanis.
And what, like, Canada or something is already, like, making some fucking deal with these people.
Sending tickets.
Here's some of the footage from it. Look at this here. Here. They're lining up. Afghans living in Pakistan set to be deported.
They're just loading up the trucks and sending them off. Give a shit.
So if they can do it, we can do it too. It must be this. Go ahead.
They've lived there for decades, these people. They have no roots in Afghanistan, these people. And Pakistanians, they don't give a shit. They just, we need to get rid of you because we can't afford this.
Yeah.
Go away.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Our welfare system, ironically, again, the worse economically we are, the more there will be things done for us here, I think, in the next, probably sooner, but let's say decade, 5 to 10 years. That is going to be advantageous for what we want to achieve here. Meaning, if you have an economic destabilization, which means less gives less likely for welfare and handouts. It's not going to be as easy anymore. You have housing shortages. On top of that, if you can just create an environment of, and that's what point I want to make earlier, but I didn't get around to it, but like just really strong in-group nationalistic type of mentality among the Swedish people, among the French people, among the German people, and so forth, etc. Right? You have a lot of dissentive already for some of these people. Like, is it really worth being here? Like, we don't feel welcome. You had that one story. I'm not sure what happened with that, but it's like it was going around. It was funny. It was this one girl who was like, I'm burning my Swedish passport or something, because I forget, was it over the Quran burnings or was it something else? But people were like, oh, is that all it takes to get some people to like denounce their Swedish citizenship? Great, let's do more of that, whatever that was, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, wasn't that like she did it in her own country?
Yeah, like, I think so, right?
It was an old passport. I think someone like zoomed in on that. And it was like,
oh, shit. Right.
It wasn't so even valid.
There's that.
It was just for their views, I guess.
For the clicks, right? Yeah, but just, yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll, you know, humanity overall will, yes. And not that we need that, we just need to do this for ourselves and for, again, this is the moral position for us to preserve ourselves, our people. This is what needs to be done, right? We need to move in this direction. Yeah. We need to retain control of our countries and our own destiny once again. That's it.
Yeah, whatever is best for our people, that's what we need to do.
Yeah. And hopefully we can create some kind of environment where maybe at some point in the future, people realize this is a failed experiment, at least to a certain extent. You have, maybe it won't happen in every country or whatever, right? But at least those who want to, you know, stop this and reverse these things, they can move in that direction. And people again realize, like, you know what, it's better to live around people like your own. And you go, okay, you know what I mean? With transportation, with, again, even citizenship, the way that it is. I don't necessarily like the way it's going with globalization, and I realize that could reverse also at any moment. But regardless, be it as it may, the trajectory we're on right now is that citizenship is like, you know, toilet paper now. Essentially, it's easily accessible, right? It's everywhere. You can get whatever. But maybe at some point there will be this like, oh, therefore we might as well live in this country where people like us are. Maybe, hopefully that's a mentality that kicks in here at some point. But if that isn't, then we're going to have to create zones, right, in our countries where we are and just for our people or something. There needs to be at least some intermediary solution, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Swedish
and
zones.
People need to become a lot more ethnocentric.
Yes.
That's what white people need right now. And they need to realize that, well, again, race is the foundation of everything. That's where your culture comes from. That's where your personality comes from. It's your genes. It's everything that matters. And once those genes are gone, then it's too late. It's not. It's irreversible. So we need to create the Nordic Resistance Movement, obviously, are encouraging people to join us in our very ethnocentric national socialist organization, and to organize locally and to get to know people and build bonds and have the clan mentality.
Yeah, folk first. That's the term I like. Folk first. And you have all these different ethnic groups in Europe. You have the different countries. And, you know, because sometimes even they see, look, I have nothing whatsoever against, and I know that Nordic criticism moving in that direction as well, of Nordic cooperation. But even that, right, you hear sometimes like, well, Israel is a small country. You know, you've heard what Barbara Spector, I think it was, like referring to that, or maybe it was one of these activists or whatever. But, and it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, Denmark is still different from Sweden and Finland. We can cooperate. We come from the same ethnic root at some point, the further back you go, obviously, right? But still, these are still different countries. They're smaller than Israel. It's not just like, oh, let's say Hungary opposes immigration. Well, that's kind of like, that's your ethnostate right there then. It's like, no, that's Hungarians. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not good enough. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
But at the same time, I'm like willing. It's very controversial to think, but in 1,000 years, we don't know what the white race is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in dire straits in Europe right now, all of our countries being overrun with all these people. So we definitely need cooperation, and the Nordic Resistance Movement is always looking for organizations that have similar sentimentalities, if that's the word, but similar points as us, and it's literally the racial question and the Jewish question. If you've got these two down, then we can talk. And that's what I think that most, what all pro-white organizations need to consider if they're going to organize or try to fight this. And they kind of go into each other because Jews is a race and Jews are organizing to, like you showed there, with mass immigration. And, well, they own the media, they own the banks, they run Hollywood and all the degenerate stuff and all that kind of stuff.
What's the Chi-Coms that ran Hollywood? What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Muslims that are running Hollywood, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if Hamas wins, like, according to these anti-Brown people, like, maybe Hamas and the Palestinians will just take over Hollywood and do all the porn in the future. No, I think
they have that one girl, right? What's her name again? Some Muslim porn star or something they're pointing to.
Mira. Not Mira. I forgot her. Mia.
Yeah,
Mia.
I have a meme. Let me see. I can pull that up here. Someone made anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, she was tweeting about how horrible Israel was.
Something like that, and then she was booted off from all the porn platforms or something.
Yeah,
and then that was the meme. That's right. Let me see if I can pull this in real quick.
It's Mia funny. Khalifa, I think it is.
That's right. Let me see here. Is that what's in the? Let me see here. It is here. Yeah, Israel's biggest movie star, right? Gal Gadot, or whatever her name is, right? Hamas's biggest movie star, and someone said, "Who hired the Hamas girl?" Which is, of course, a true story. And then, of course, the woke archive goes on and bans the person that's asked them. how was she let in there to begin with? Oh, boy. Yeah. That's funny. All right. So, I guess with some of that out of the way, tell us a little bit about some of the stuff the Nordic Resistance Movement has been keeping up with here then. I know we had a short little, maybe that's a good time to pray it. Crash Zionism in Stockholm had a little protest. Is that a couple of days ago?
Yeah, it was translated a couple of days ago, but it's 2 weeks ago, I think, we did the demonstration itself. And it was during one of these pro-Palestinian demonstrations in the central Stockholm. We went there and burnt the Israeli flag. And, you know, they were not too happy, you know, because, you know, we get accused of having allied ourselves with these pro-Palestinian demonstrators, but no, they have leftists and communists among them that are rallying against the Nazis. You
exactly,
know?
That's it. They're against Israel because they're the new Nazis. That's why, right?
Yeah, exactly. Colonialist Nazis, whatever. You know, it's definitely true. So no, we're not allying ourselves. We were just showing that yes, we want to crush Zionism too, but for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, again, if you look at it, man, it's been a problem in the region. It's driven all these, driven migration, war.
Yeah, but it's
conflict,
insane.
You know?
Like, you know, you had Ten Stoffel on a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when you had him on, I looked at everything that he's done. He's done a series, a long podcast series on literally Jewish identity. And that was like my Kevin MacDonald, you know, my cultural critique, going through that podcast series. And he lists all the things that Israel has been doing over the years, like anything from organ smuggling to human trafficking to prostitution to slavery, drug trading, arms trading, and then all this stealing of technology that they're doing so that they can have backdoors into every single software that we're using on our computers. And they have the Hasbara trolls that sit and changes Wikipedia and sits on Reddit and just does all this stuff. If Israel is wiped off the map, that doesn't exist anymore. Literally, it disappears overnight. Because even if Israel is at war, they are too busy to do all this stuff. So it's just positives to have them not able to operate.
Yeah, I've shown some of these headlines there, right? Israel becoming safe haven for pedophiles with laws that allow any Jews to legally return, activist claims. Tip of the iceberg. And they say here, foreign sex offenders, but of course they're Jewish, right? Sex offenders finding refuge in Israel. Anyway, this goes on and on here. Jewish American pedophiles hide from justice in Israel. And the first one I showed was, yes, the modern slavery in Israel, the women victims of human trafficking. But Yeah, no, my only concern is that it's offset. That's offset to another country somewhere. Isn't that why people, there's some kind of conspiracy going on for a while. There's like, that's right, that's why the Ukraine thing was happening. They're going to set up some new, like, Khazarian empire in Ukraine in case things go wrong in Israel or some shit like that.
Yeah, we'll see about that. That hasn't played out yet.
Yeah, it has not. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, here's the video. Let's take a look at this one here. You guys are up. So it looks like. So it was. Was there any scuffles there with some of the other people? That was at Sergel's Tori. What was that?
Yeah, there was a few at the end. There was a lot of people that were, you know, coming at us.
Yeah. So. That's what I'm thinking. Now this is fascinating, right? So you're there, you're burning the Israeli flag. Imagine that, the UK in London, right, when you show up with the Israeli flag. I think they're going to end up in trouble there. I don't think they'll realize, like, how bad it is there. I mean, man, I've seen some of this footage, and it just, okay, great, they're against Israel or whatever, but again, going back to the point we made before, this is because they're anti-white, they're anti-Western, you know what I mean? So, no, these people are not our allies, for sure. And I'm not even sure you don't have to team up with anybody, obviously, but you can push, you can have two different strands pushing in the same direction for different reasons or whatever. That's just what it is, you know?
Yeah, it is. And this whole thing, you know, has been, just like the ban the ADL campaign, this has been an insane red-pilling opportunity on the history of Israel, on Twitter and other platforms like Telegram. So much information. Everything from the Balfour Declaration all the way through the terrorism, the 80 years of terrorism that they have done, like the USS Liberty, that kind of stuff. So many more people. And I forget about these people sometimes, but people are still coming to our side.
I know.
People are still, even though the censorship, they're still finding our material. And they're like, wow. They're like, I didn't know this stuff. And they're like, this is old news, man. Where have you been?
They're just waking up to some of this stuff. Not even, you know.
Exactly. I think that's terrific. You know, it's an opportunity to red pill more people. That's all it is.
Yep. Yeah, no, we should not forget that. And I think, in fact, again, the worse these things kind of get, to be honest, the more people I think will come to our side. Well, hopefully, you know what I mean? And even, as you said, even with the censorship, and I guess that's a good opportunity to mention that, because first I was like, oh, we'll mention the beginning or whatever, but you guys are, I'm not sure if Odyssey now is your main platform or whatever. But this, I'm not sure it's related to censorship, but apparently Odyssey is going to, or Library, which is the first, you know, they were funded like Library and they did a crypto token and all that stuff. Like, they're going up for auction, and they, I forget how many days they've set for this. The statement here is, looks like Odyssey.
October 23rd.
Was that what it was? Okay. Auction. And interested parties need to contact seller by 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, which is, I believe, today then. 9th. Yes. Okay.
No. All right.
So, which could mean that Odyssey is going down. Now, I'm not sure if it's related to censorship at all. I think this might just be one of the side effects. The SPLC, the lovely organization over in the U.S. here, had a hit piece on Odyssey just a few days before. The announcement might have been earlier, but I just spotted it like today. But the announcement is from a few days ago. And they were going through this, how extremists are making money on Odyssey, and they're getting out their message or whatever. In fact, you guys were mentioned as one of the, I think, second in the hit piece here, the Nordic Resistance Movement.
Nice.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
It means you're doing, yeah, you're doing something right when you're over the target, as they say.
Yeah, you know, I was really excited about Odyssey when it first kicked off, very early adopter, because I was on Library just like yourself. I saw that you were on Library. Tried Library, and then when Odyssey came about, I was like, wow, this is great. Like, obviously, I hate BitChute. I have an anti-BitChute stance.
Mm-hmm.
I wish them all the worst. But maybe because they banned us. I don't know if you know about that. They banned us.
I know.
They deleted all of our channels and everything, all the material that had our name in it and everything. They didn't even contact us, nothing. It was just because we were terrorists, according to Hope Not Hate. That's who he was talking to, the founder of BitChute. He was talking to Hope Not Hate about
it was not that the UK government had contacted him and said, you better bow down to Ofcom's requirements, yeah, and therefore, otherwise, yeah, we'll basically just confiscate your website, right? Was that
that's how it worked, for sure.
Okay.
But there was this article, and he was talking about Hope Not Hate, and he's like, yes, they're helping me to go through the content and stuff like that.
If you have
someone that's talking to Hope Not Hate, that's just like talking to SPLC or ADL or Expo in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
If they're talking to these people, they're not your friends. You should exclude them from your life. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was really excited about Odyssey, and it was the first time in years that our podcast actually grew, because we were in a ghetto on Spreaker for years until we were completely deleted from there as well, without an email, nothing, just deleted one day. So now I feel like, yes, if someone that is based buys this, that would be amazing.
That
obviously
would be very good, yeah. I mean, the SEC really went after Odyssey. This is, I forget when that was, right? But they targeted them. And even actually, the entire crypto sector as such was being targeted. It was this debate over, securities or is it an asset? Or I forget what the exact terms was for it, but it was something like that. It says it down there, assets, and if it is, then if it is the securities, we have to overhaul the entire crypto sector or whatever. But it's clear that they were targeted, I mean, early on. And that started some of their woes. But somebody, X is not any better, Twitter or whatever, but, you know, people are like, oh, Elon could buy it, you know.
No. Don't let him buy it. They'll ban me from there.
Yeah, because did you get your Twitter account back? And then, like yesterday, I was like, I'll find Andreas again. It was something I was looking for there. I forget what it was. And it's like, oh, you're gone again.
I've literally had five accounts five personal accounts since Elon Musk took over. And I'm not posting anything that radical. Like, it's less radical. It's just my videos, my Hey Buddy videos.
Yep,
I've been posting
those. Good. Yep.
And that, the last account that you boosted, you and Lana and Varg Vikernes boosted, and it went crazy. Over like 24 hours, I got hundreds of followers, and then bam, gone.
Yeah.
Like, that account was like 2 days old. So, and the reason for it is that there's a clause or like a point in their rules now, rules of conduct, is that hateful organizations are not allowed on the platform. That is why Patriotic Alternative, Nordic Resistance Movement, National Justice Party, Patriot Front, they're not allowed on the platform. But no one's pointing out what's so hateful. No one's defining hate.
No, of course not.
They're not interested in like making an actual thing we can follow. They just want to get rid of us, which is funny. Like, it's something that I've thought about so much. What is the op really? Because you're still on there.
I don't know why. Proves we're feds, I guess. But it's like, the only it was the only platform, really, we haven't been banned from. Because
nowadays, Lucas Gage.
Yeah. Yep.
And you have these characters and yourself. Like, you have an insane amount of interaction. Like, you're doing really well. And you're saying the same things that we would be saying if we were on the platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, is it the organization? Like, is it getting organized in a pro-white organization that they want to prevent? Like,
could
they
be. Don't want that propaganda. Facebook banned us because we were a violent, dangerous organization. SPLC, which is, you know, what this is, hit piece on Odyssey is, they classified, you know, like us individually as like a hateful group, and then the website was its own individual group that was also like organizing and shit like that. So I guess it's just how the platform considers what organization is or something. I don't know. But clearly there's someone on the back end like feeding them, you know, this information.
It's strange because you have like American Renaissance, you have, what's it called? Well, there's a lot of characters that I think initially got their accounts back, maybe.
I think Jared and Amarin got their back, but there's some that got back on there for a while and then they were banned again. I think, Mark Collett, wasn't he one of them? He got it back for a little bit.
Yeah, he came back and he had like millions of interactions. He had crazy tweets for a few weeks and then he was banned.
And then boom, gone again. Yep.
Yeah. So, I'm on a Twitter break for now, but I love the platform because of the interaction, you know, and I've always done it ever since I joined first in 2017, and I've had like over 20 accounts by now. It's pretty crazy, but it's just such an amazing platform. If they would just let it free, if they would just let it be, and people could just say what they wanted, that's not illegal. Anything that's illegal, they can delete. Whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how they, I don't know what the reasoning is, how they filter, is there some external pressure? I know they still have issues internally, there's still some shitlibs in there, and, he's apparently, you know, I mean, he's you know, in the middle of the road, obviously, someone like Elon Musk, but I genuinely think he's tweeted out some shit, which is like, oh, good, you know, like there was that one thing about how they want to exterminate white people or whatever. He joined in on that and shit like that. So that's good. I mean, it's still a net positive, but then I don't understand why, like, you guys or Jared Taylor or Kevin McDonald, he had his account, I think, shut. Like, why? You know, I mean, it's very odd and random. I don't understand it yet. So it's very.
And Nick Fuentes as well. I think Nick Fuentes now has like a rando account that is on there.
Yeah.
But he's been banned several times since. Alex Jones, I don't know if he came back or not.
I don't know. I think he never did. Someone asked him, no, we're not letting Alex Jones on. Well, really? Why? You know?
Exactly.
He personally responded.
I'm under no impression that Elon Musk is like specifically targeting us or anything like that.
Right.
The activists that are in control. And wasn't she a Jewish Yenta, that's a woman that he hired for content moderation or whatever it was? I forget her name now.
Not sure.
But she was talking about the lawful but awful.
Oh, wasn't that the World Economic Forum chick? What's her name again? Yaccarino? Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yaccarino.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, some literally World Economic Forum labor, whatever she was. But it's like, oh, it's going to be good for the advertisers. She had some tie into the advertisers, right? It's still that, like, oh, monetarily, we have to do good financially and shit like that, right? That's one of the motives they have to. Anyway, have you, and I, not that you might laugh at this, but like, have you guys tried Rumble? Have you tried some of those? Were you booted off?
Yeah, we're on Rumble.
We are on Rumble. Okay, good.
Frontier is on Rumble for sure.
Okay, good. All right.
So, I think Rumble's threshold is lower than Odyssey.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's an impression. Like, it's a conservatard platform.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to be very pro-Zionist for sure. So if they do any the content, analysis or something, I don't think we're going to be on there for long. Because there's one thing about what I've created, my content, is that I just want to get to the truth. And if the truth is awful, it's lawful but awful,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to post that because that's all I want to post. I want to post the memes that point out the correct narratives. And I want to make podcasts about Jewish subversion. I want to do podcasts about how the World War II you've been lied about World War II and Adolf Hitler and all that stuff. That's what I want to talk about, and that's what I want to post about. It's the only thing that's not allowed on the internet, literally. You can post child porn and no one gives a shit. Post about Hitler, you get banned straight away.
They did some shit on like the COVID stuff or whatever, but that was like a kind of a there was one thing on the side in a way, right?
That doesn't apply anymore.
No,
now you
not
can
really.
You scream about COVID all you want.
Yep. Now they don't care, I think, to be honest.
But Hitler is definitely the third rail, I think.
Yes, most certainly. You can't break that. Yeah, it's a religious devotion you have to have to the one-sided nature to that particular piece of history. So, okay, so that's something that we'll see what happens with Odyssey there, to be honest. Yeah. I'm not sure if that means services are going to go down. You guys have built your audience over there. We have as well. It's been a great platform so far, so hopefully it does not go under. Someone steps in kind of last minute, some venture capitalist in shining armor. comes in. I'll buy it. I'll stand up for free speech. We'll see if that happens or not. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. Some of the other things here I wanted to talk about as well. I wanted to ask you a little bit of some of this. We mentioned some of the short videos, which I like. Was that on a YouTube Shorts that we played in one of the streams? Do you have that account still? Is that up?
Or yes, my new pet project is my Hey Buddy videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's a passion project, and it's because I've been banned everywhere. Like, I've had to rethink what I'm doing online because it's not working out. So I've been running this channel called Tiva's Comfy Corner on Telegram for a very long time. And it's just been my, you know, posting everyday stuff and posting meme comments and stuff like that. And people have been enjoying it, but it's literally shadow banned from the Google Play Store. And if you're on an Apple device, you can't even find it. And you can't find me. You cannot find Andreas Johansson on Telegram, even if you search for me, if you have the normal app. So I'm getting so frustrated because I like doing this and people like what I'm posting. I'm, you know, obviously getting some feedback that it's very positive and they enjoy it. But I'm tired of being in an echo chamber. So I'm trying to change that by changing my content, but still doing it in a way that it's fulfilling, that it has a purpose. It's supposed to make people question things. So I started doing these Hey Buddy videos and they are ever so slightly pro-white. Every single video is about race in the end. But it's not about hating non-white people. It's just about being white and then saying, oh, I love being white. And then seeing the reactions in the comments, you know. One video that was very interesting that I did is I told people to try Googling happy white woman and see what you can see. And so many comments, they had never seen this before. And this was on TikTok. It's so interesting to see that people don't know about this subversion that is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's so underhanded. And then when they see it, their mind is blown. Like, they had no idea that was going on. So I don't know if people have done that, but try Googling happy white woman.
Yeah, variations of that are like white families or something. I saw one today, which was funny. Of course, it kind of worked in our favor. If the image results were true, maybe it was doctored, but it was three black teenagers and then three white teenagers. And all the black teenagers were like arrest photos and stuff. Like three black, like they're lined up next to each other. While like the white ones were like, you know, out on the beach, were like with their beach ball, or they were like doing, you know, making food together. So that was funny. But you have this
really subversive stuff going on. Like you have this Swedish documentary, the history of Sweden coming out.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for bringing that up. I did want to mention that. Yeah.
There was also another thing coming out of England. You had all these infomercials or whatever. They're not commercials. They're like information propaganda pieces about violence and crime. and about the knife violence in London and stuff like that. And then you have a white guy playing the villain in every single video. Mm-hmm. There's been like five or more of these now that I've seen over the years. It's been like over a year of these videos coming out, and they have the black guy stepping in and saying, hey, that's not okay. Like, you have a white guy harassing women, and this is like non-white women as well. It's like, what fucking planet are you living on? And then you have these black guys stepping in. It's like that meme, you know, where the black guy puts out his
hand. Yeah, it's keeping the white guy away. Was that the Gillette commercial or something that's from?
Yeah. And it's so underhanded that people can't see it unless they see it. Like, just Google happy white one.
You have to be aware of it. Exactly. I mean, you had the first Swedes was one, right? The UK have had that too, right? The Cheddar Man hoax. They've done it in Sweden. They've done it all over, basically, just saying, oh, well, that's it. You know,
All the TV shows coming out of England with the black royalty and stuff
like that. Yes, exactly.
It is just so...
It's so bizarre. I know. But they're trying to push it. They try to put it hard, And the latest one was, what was that called again? The History of Sweden, right? That was the new one, because I saw that was going viral again. Yep.
And they released part one so far. That I'm going to check it out. I haven't watched it yet. But from what I've heard, when they spoke about it on our Swedish radio show, Radio Nordfront, is that they literally have non-white people there that have blue-eyed lenses, like that Somalian actor there, instead of having... What they said was, at least they could have chosen white people and then put some, you know, brown, like blackface on them. That would be more realistic, at least. But having an actual African with blue eyes is a little bit rough, isn't it?
There's some good, like, AI art coming out on this, right? Here's the black Laplanders, the Sami, the African Samis.
No wonder. What does the Sami people think about this? I mean, they are blackwashing their history, too.
That's right.
I mean, are they going to turn racist as well? Are they going to be, like, red-pilled by this SVT debacle?
I'm just glad that they're not slowing down, though. I mean, it's good. This is good for Swedes, right? This is good for the ethnocentrism that we need to come back into, because most people don't like this. I mean, right. I mean, most people, they see what this is. And they might not they might not have all the background and, you know, agree on every single point, but they see, like, what's going on here? You know, they're beginning to complain.
Yeah, but one of the nefarious things that they apparently did in this documentary is that they mixed the visuals with really good science. Like, they have interesting things to say about our history and the things that they found, and, you know, it kind of makes sense. It's just that the visuals are non-white, so that the people watching it will be like, yeah, that was really good. And they didn't catch on. Obviously, everyone's going to notice that they're black.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter how many people care. And I think a lot of people, like you say, they take offense to it. Just like the SAS commercial the other year when they said, Viking ancestors, bullshit. That got a lot of people riled up. And that was actually created by a Jewish ad firm in Denmark.
I'm so shocked.
Gave birth to that debacle.
There we go. There it is, right here.
Every single time is something that I usually say.
Yep, that's right. We're no better than our Viking ancestors. Wasn't he like eating a hot dog somewhere, like in Copenhagen or something? I forget what it was.
Putting ketchup on the pasta.
No, I'm saying, you know, the dangerous part here seems to be that there's conservatives that want to, like, slow this down, right? You have, like, no, you know, we have to stop wokeness, you know, and it's like, okay, sure, we do, but wokeness now is just like a kind of a clown show that almost, like, is benefiting us of sorts, right? The damage is already done, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, sure, you have the stuff with, like, the kids or whatever. I don't like the anti-white programming, that it continues. I shouldn't say that, but at least let me put it this way. At least to people that are awake, they can look at the wokeness and kind of weaponize it against them a little bit, and I think that's helping to wake up people. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, they could be a lot smoother with this stuff, and they're not. So no. I guess that's a good thing. But they are showing this one in schools. There was a a teenager in our chat that was saying that they had that in school, and he screamed out loud and ran out of the classroom because he was so pissed off.
Jeez.
But, yeah. They're forcing the children to watch this in school now. It's
oh, boy. Yeah, I do have to check it out later.
So evil.
Yeah.
And do you know about Lilla Aktuellt?
Yes.
In Sweden?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're showing that to, like my son has been watching that since he was 7.
Mm-hmm.
In school, every week on Fridays, I think it is. They watch Lilla Aktuellt, which is a state-sponsored news show for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every time there's a controversial issue in the world or in Sweden, like I ask him about the show and like what do they say about right now, they are showing the stuff from the Gaza Strip, but they're definitely talking about the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were talking about Americans leaving Afghanistan and all kinds of stuff that the 7-year-olds don't need to be thinking.
No,
about, right?
Exactly. I know.
You don't need to be programmed about all this bullshit at that early age.
No.
So it's really, really evil and malicious what they're doing. And it's all paid by us. This is state mandated tax money that they're living on these people.
It has to change. Those things have to change. They just people have refused to pay it, whatever, like any way they can. You know what I mean? Stop supporting.
There was
these.
A funny story the other week about them having to lay off a lot of journalists.
Oh, good.
From the Swedish radio.
Excellent.
Swedish state radio, and we're like, yeah, it's good, but is it going to get less subversive? Probably not.
No, of course not. No, it's just good to see them taking hits. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, like it should be the easiest thing to budget ever because you have the same amount of billions coming out of the tax pot every year. So I don't know how they actually, failed. Because they're not getting any extra money from people viewing it.
No, exactly.
It's not a revenue building. Like it's illegal to profit from state sponsorship or
don't some of their sporting events actually have like ads in the background and shit like that? I thought they do. Maybe the Olympics is not on SVT anymore. I think they used to be. Maybe I'm dating myself here, but
there's no ads or anything. Not in the stream.
I guess. Yeah, not in the programming. I guess. Yeah, you're right that way. But just like
you'd be in the arena and it would be on players and stuff. Like that.
Behind even the actors. But yeah. Anyway, I'm wrong about that. But okay. Point being, this is how they do, right? They take it out of your pocket, and then they create subversive propaganda and shove it down your face. The other thing, of course, is we have to stop, watching it, obviously, and not have our kids watch it either.
The funny thing about that is we used to pay TV license, and they used to go door to door and ask, you paid your TV license?
Yep, but then that didn't work out, did it? So they changed that.
No one wanted to pay.
Sorry, I don't have a TV. Yeah. I remember for a while, I think, last time I had an encounter with them was something with they were like, well, do you have a computer, something like that, and they wanted to get money just because you had access to their website or some shit like that. Like, this is insane.
And in the end, the way they get you is that, do you own a car? Do you have a radio in your car?
Exactly.
Do you listen to a radio in your car?
Yeah.
And then it was like, do you have a graphics card? Do you have a TV out possibility? Well, then you can watch it on the TV.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
So what do you think here? What are we looking at here with develop? Well, there's so many balls in the air at the same time here, of course, but like... Short term, and if you want to long term or whatever, but do you think the conflict in Israel is going to escalate? Are we going to see other countries getting involved in that or being dragged into it, rather? Is that a potential, we're going World War III here, or is that, is it just kind of peter out, or it just, because the Russia-Ukraine war, there were people that said that about that too, right? Like it's going to go nuclear at some point, whatever. Obviously it's going on, but like I saw U.S. and EU people now from the U.S. and EU were like dropping the idea of like we probably need to talk about peace negotiations at this point. But anyway, what do you think is going to happen on that front?
Yeah, the thing about the Russia-Ukraine war is that I was not excited for that. The first reaction I had when that happened is like, this is the war that we didn't need. This is just going to mass murder white people.
Yep.
And it's literally what's been going ever since. There's like graphs on like, what would you call that? Like citizens in Ukraine, like the ages. And there's a massive gap, men in, yeah, like young men, they're being erased from Ukraine. And I'm like, this is what we wanted to prevent. Yep. Like everyone that's been like, not too excited about this war, not being like, oh, Ukraine needs to defend themselves, or being like pro-Russia. Like I'm neither. I just didn't want all these people to die.
Yep.
And I don't think it's been worth it. I think it's been a fucking meat grinder.
Yep.
And no, I don't think that what Russia has done is right either.
No.
But here we are. And I was never excited about that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, this war in the Middle East, I'm very excited about. And I hope for all kinds of escalations in this war. I hope Iran actually gets involved. I'm very disappointed, even though they are doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. They are fighting this through proxy, for sure. But you have Hamas and Hezbollah that are very bravely fighting this monster, this Goliath down there. And the Yemenis and, well, hopefully Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, they all just gang up and blow this fucking thing to bits. And we can send all the Palestinians home after that. That's what I'm hoping. I'm not hoping for a World War III. I'm not hoping that Russia gets involved or China gets involved with America, like that kind of escalation. But definitely that the Arab countries just come together for their brother folk.
I can't determine if that has happened or not, or what they're waiting for. I know there's some people that were like kind of disappointed, like where is Hezbollah and are they going to, you know, join or whatever. I know some targets in Jordan are being hit by, you know, Israeli IDF, you know, Air Force and whatever.
According to stuff that I read, that Hezbollah has attacked like a lot. They've been fighting a lot on the border to Israel. And the Yemenis have been fighting a lot. And, you know, Israel has started the ground offensive and the Palestinians have blown up so many tanks. I mean, it's hundreds of millions of dollars by now in tanks alone because they can't fight. These people don't know war. They just drive in with the tanks and they sit there and they think that they're safe. And then they get blown up.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. But the Palestinian people, Hamas, they know war. They've been bombed for decades. So
that's all they know.
They don't even care. Yeah. They count on dying, and they don't care about dying.
Yeah.
They just want to fight, and they want to kill as many people as possible. So, yeah, and there's obviously been these American bases in Iraq that's been attacked, and now I heard that Americans have attacked Iranian proxies in Syria.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things heating up, but there's no like, yeah, Iran is just going to move in and eradicate. Because it's interesting. I don't know if it was you that mentioned that, but you had Iranians being invited to Syria to help them fight ISIS,
yeah,
whereas Americans are just in Syria completely uninvited. And now they're attacking these Iranian troops. It's like the hypocrisy of Israel and America is so disgusting. Like the way that Israel has behaved towards Syria, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have bombed Syria like every other month for years.
Yeah.
They've sent missiles into their cities and no one in the world gives a shit. There's no headlines. You can find the clips on Telegram. That's literally it.
Yeah. It's kind of like Yemen, I guess. Saudi Arabia, I've been fighting them, yeah, starving them out and shit like that. No one is like, oh, it's fine, I guess. That's why, like, when the, was it the, what do they call again? I'm going to say Houthi and Tutsi, but that's not it. What were they called again? The Yemeni?
Houthis.
Oh, they are the Houthis. Yeah. Houthis. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Houthis.
It's kind of the same thing. Yeah, it's not nothing, but they're, like, severely, like, you know, knocked back several pegs. And it feels like that. Remember, Israel began the so-called normalization relations with, like, you know, Saudi Arabia and shit like that. Like, You know what I mean? They've been trying to... What I'm saying is you're not seeing that super united Arab world like that maybe you would have done in the 70s or something. Like, that's changed now. And a lot of them are just kind of standing back and waiting. And some people might say, well, that's cowardly, whatever. Well, they're just like, well, I don't want to be bombed by America and Israel or whatever. I get part of that. But it hasn't been this, like, unified... I don't know. There's some people, rumors said, like, oh, even the Shia and the Sunni now, that's kind of going away a little bit, or they're finding different ways of working together, whatever. I'm going to hold my breath for that. Let me tell you that much. We'll see what happens. But Israel seems to have gotten to a lot of the leadership in some of these other Islamic countries. And it's not... Maybe the people are not pro that, but the leadership, as usual, is not acting on this, it looks like to me. But maybe I'm speaking prematurely. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I hope that they can unite and fight together, for sure, and make it an official thing. And I think when they see the weakness of Israel and maybe the American insurgency, whatever that's going to look like, they've already got troops on the ground, like special forces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when they can see, I don't know, when they see that the emperor doesn't have any clothes on, literally, then they can see the potential of their power, and maybe then they will act. But now they're just observing and supporting Hamas, I think.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to... I'm not sure how they get any of the stuff that they in there. It's just amazing.
They go wide.
Maybe like tunnels from Iran into the Gaza Strip? Is that what it is, you think? Maybe they need to borrow
a... They've been digging
That's true. Maybe they can borrow one of Elon Musk's boring machines. How about that? Come on, Elon. All right, anyway. We'll see what happens. We're laughing at this, but it's just sometimes it's just such a clown show, all this. It's just like, oh my gosh. Like, really? Are we gonna do this now?
We were showing all the clips of the dead children from being bombed. They bombed the hospitals and the schools and the refugee camp and this caravan of ambulances. We were just showing clips and clips of dead children. I'm like, the mainstream media isn't showing them.
No, they're not showing that.
No one is seeing all these dead children. And there was even one clip where they were picking up slabs of meat.
Yeah.
There was previously women and children and putting it in on a sheet. And I'm like, the line should be, instead of babies were cooked in an oven, it's that the Jews were turning the Palestinians into slabs of meat.
Yeah.
That's the meme, because that's true. And, you know, highlighting that, I think, is very important, that they're just...
Yeah, I mean, we're getting those videos out of Gaza. We're looking at this, and meanwhile, can we see the four? And again, it's like, well, it's too... How dare you ask for proof? And it's like, well, we're going to go to World War III over this. I think now is the time to ask for proof. You know what I mean? Like, can we see the 40 beheaded babies? Or you can blot out the sensitive parts, but can we see it? No, you can't. Just trust us. Same thing. The secret with they're filming. They had some press. A screening of footage allegedly from Hamas body cams to selected members of the media, but they couldn't film or photograph or record any of that, and they just had to go back and like write in their various publications about what they saw. And it's so odd, you know what I mean? It's so bizarre, it's so contrived and so controlled and just so contained. But again, one of the reasons here why, you know, the boomers have been like hardcore pro-Israeli, they've supported them 81%, 65 years and older. They say it's justified for Israel's military to do whatever they need to, essentially, against Hamas in the wake of this. And it's dropping, as we can see in the graph there in the ages, right? And part of that, part of it, is also demographically it's changing. It's getting more and more brown in America as you go down in those ages, right? So that's part of it. But the other part of it, too, is that they see social media posts as opposed to sitting glued to Fox News and CNN and MSNBC like these boomers do, you know? So that's one thing that has changed, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that list of the Israelis that were killed by Hamas on the 7th, the 1,400 victims.
I did not see the list.
I sent you on Telegram the tweet, and it's hilarious because if you read the names, it's just a massive block of text. But if you read the names, there are so many soldiers in there, sergeants,
like
commanders, and all kinds of stuff, and you're like, oh, they just killed the soldiers, enemy combatants. Where are the children? There was a poll that was showing the ages of the victims, and literally no babies were born, killed. Like, there was less than three, I think, babies killed, or something like that. It's insane.
Like, yeah, sergeants, corporals.
Soldiers.
Let me see. Is that in the original too? Let me just see. That's hard to see.
That's the original.
Yeah, sergeant. Yeah, corporal. Okay, yeah, I see it in there too. Huh. Yeah, because we had those, even the Israeli, what do you call it, eyewitnesses, is that the right term in this case? They were caught basically between the IDF and Hamas soldiers, and they said the IDF had just indiscriminately just shot, yeah, and they had just gone in with tanks, and like a lot of them were killed, yeah, by their own military, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it came out today that Israel admitted that like an Apache helicopter had just been shooting indiscriminately into the mass that was fleeing from this rave, and they had shot a lot of Jews in the process.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The thing is, I'm just against Israel, but I do think the Hamas has conducted themselves in a way, you know, if you want to look at it from a war perspective, way more humane way, especially with the witnesses that have been, the Jewish witnesses that have been coming out, talking about how they were treated as hostages. And I don't even care about that. They can take hostages from these occupied territories and kill them. Like, these people are, you know, enemies of them.
Well, the narrative has been that, you know, one day, for no reason whatsoever, it's October 7th, and here's this terrorist group just attacking, right? And that's that was the narrative. Like, nothing preceded this. It just came out of the blue.
Yeah, and it's also the theory, and I'm not completely opposed to the theory that Israel wanted this. I know you've discussed that as well, but
yeah,
the way that they're acting now, they're literally not holding back one second. They're like,
no,
getting rid of the Gaza Strip.
Yep.
And just, if they're not going to flee, they're going to die. That's literally the options that they have now. They've never done anything like this in the history of Israel.
No, they're moving ahead.
So
I think maybe personally,
they're pushing this. You know?
I think they are. Personally, I think they'll probably go like, they're going to build their third temple. They're going to clear the West Bank in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They're going to go for their red. They're going to clone their red heifer and all that. I think it's like partially religious. There's a large contingent of like, I'm not sure how like religious Netanyahu is, but they're probably aboard on most of the kind of Chabad, you know, Orthodox stuff.
He's talking about light and darkness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Amalek and stuff. He dropped these terms. Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, he did do that. So we'll see how it plays out, but no, they're making their move, and it might be too late of sorts, to be honest. I was going to say it's too early, but it might actually be too late for them to do this, but they might not come out of this the way they think they will. We'll see what happens. It's an interesting time for sure. Very different.
Yeah.
All right, Andreas, we're going to start wrapping up right there. Thank you so much. You've almost been on here with us for 2 hours. I appreciate your time. It's great having you here. Now, we do want to plug some of your stuff. I do want to refer people to the Rumble then, because we don't even know if Odyssey is going to be here within a few days,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, it's the Rumble.
That's for the Nordic Frontier, though, obviously, but also the website. You have nordicresistancemovement.org. And obviously the main Swedish site is nordfront.se, but I don't think there's any. Is there any English content on there? I don't think there is. Is there?
No, it's just a Swedish news website. It's a national socialist alternative news website that has our perspective on things that's going on in the world.
Very good. What other? So your Twitter is out. Did you have? What's your direct? Can people follow you on the Telegram? Do you give us that address?
Yeah, I have TV's Comfy Corner, and I have Nordic Frontier on, but they are obviously shadow banned, so you can search for them, or you can find the links in any of these show articles on nordicresistancemovement.org. I link it up there. And then I've created a new channel, which is Andreas Johansson on Telegram, trying to not be censored, because I'm not doing anything wrong. So that's a completely new channel where I will be posting my Hey Buddy material and more light content. I also have a YouTube and a TikTok with the Hey Buddy videos. And yeah, it's Rumble and Odyssey with Nordic Frontier. We're live every Sunday nowadays at 8:30 Swedish Master Race time, as I usually say.
There you go. Exactly.
So it's the only time that matters, Swedish Master Race time. But yeah.
Okay.
So it's on Sundays nowadays, and it's a hoot. You should check it out.
Definitely, definitely turn in. See, you can you tune in at nordiccriticismmovement.org?
Yeah, we post the article there every day. Every day we go live, so
okay.
Check it out.
All right, that's a good bet.
There or on the Telegram.
Yep, there you go, guys. Tiawas. That's what I was going to ask first. It's like, how do you? Oh, you mean the god? Okay, yeah, of course. Tiawas. Tiawas. Comfy corner. That's the URL for that, guys. All right, Andreas, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. It's always good talking to you. Always good keeping up with what you and the other boys over at the Nordic Resistance Movement are doing. So thank you again for coming on. Keep up the good work, and we'll chat again soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for watching or listening today, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you being here. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to be back with more soon. Until that time, stay tuned to the websites, redice.tv and redicemembers.com. Of course, don't forget you can watch us live on Wednesdays, usually around 4 or 5 p.m. Eastern. Changes a little bit depending on the schedule, but Fridays is mostly set. It's 5 p.m. Eastern or 11 p.m. Central European time for Flashback Friday. Then, of course, Western Warrior over at redicemembers.com and Subscribestar, and it is for now on Odyssey. But we'll see what happens with Odyssey. If you do have your subscription, by the way, on Odyssey, depending on what happens, we'll make sure that we move you over to redicemembers.com so that you can continue it there. But anyway, if you are new to the show and if you do want to support us, please consider get a membership, redicemembers.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Both of those work for now. You can use donorbox.org/redice as a backup option as well if you have any issues at redicemembers.com. There's a couple of other ways you can support us as well. You can, of course, donate to the show, redice.tv/donate. Please consider keeping us alive and thriving and well. We do want to expand. We do want to hire more people. Right now would be a great time for you to come aboard and help us out. It's only $10 a month for a membership. That's really the best way to support us. You can also get that cost down per month if you get a longer one. You can also get a producer or executive producer tier. Get a shout-out at the end of our shows and videos. And, of course, as a executive producer, we'd love to have some more input from you as well. If there are specific guests you'd like us to reach out to try to get on the show, are there certain topics you'd like us to cover and so forth. So definitely check out that as an option. Thank you to our executive producers today, T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, Good Luck Lap, Jake, Red Pill Rundown, French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeeves, President Ubunga, Mongoose, William Fox, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf, The Ride Never Ends, Francis Parker Yockey, Dilbob, Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart, Purple Haze, Colin Marriott, Kami Combo Deal, and our latest, the Dearborn Toxic Event. Also thanks to our producers, Mr. Walker 696, Johansson, Leroy Dumond, Snark Pup, Eyes Open, Mr. Lemry, Urenew, Obadiah Hakeswill, Perfect Brute, Single Action Army, HB Lovecraft, and Dixie Drone Force. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Once again, if you want one of those tiers, you can check that out at redicemembers.com or Subscribestar. Until next time, stay strong, be creative and constructive, and stay white-pilled. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.